It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. As a child growing up in London, Rupert Isaacson thrilled to hear the stories his South African mother and Rhodesian father would tell him about an ancient tribe of people who lived deep in the African deserts. Tales of the Bushmen in the Kalahari, of stealthy hunters, magical healers, and a peaceful society seemingly frozen in time haunted Isaacson so much that he later journeyed to southern Africa to find the last of the Bushmen. He's written a book about his travels called The Healing Land, The Bushmen and the Kalahari Desert. Rupert Isaacson joins me now from Austin, Texas. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
Rupert, just who are the Bushmen?
They are the first people of southern Africa. They were there before anybody else. They're a small, golden-skinned people with a slightly Asiatic cast to the face. They used to live everywhere in southern Africa, but gradually, as people came down from the north, from central and east Africa and west Africa, bringing livestock maybe 2,000 to 3,000 years ago, and then, of course, when whites showed up 300-plus years ago, the Bushmen found themselves in a kind of double squeeze, and they vanished pretty much, were wiped out or assimilated from all the good areas of land, anywhere that had permanent water, anywhere that you could grow crops. And the last relict populations was by, say, 100 years ago, really, were confined to the Kalahari.
I understand that you've brought some recordings from the bush. Let's take a listen. So tell me about these sounds that they're making. Some of the sounds sound like they're kissing and then they're clicking. What's going on?
There's about six different clicks within the Bushman languages. There's many different languages. This is Xunhua that we're listening to now. And even I'm mispronouncing that. My click was a little too hard. It should have been like that kissing click, Xunhua. Not only are there these six clicks in the language, which ironically have been bequeathed to some of the other southern African tribes that actually took land from the Bushmen, like the Zulu, the Xhosa, and so on. The Bushmen originated it. They also have a lot of tonality. There's these hard ones, as you say, this kissing one, the sound you might make to gee up a horse. Incredibly complex languages and ancient. People think these go back at least 40 to 60,000 years.
Rupert, please tell me about your first encounter with Bushmen. You went up to the Kalahari and you met two men. What were their names and how did they react to your presence?
Well, their names were Benjamin Guiche and a man called Kache. I'd been told you go to this place called Sumkwe in northeast Namibia in the Nyanya area. You drive east towards the Botswana border, and after about 15 minutes, you may or may not see these baobab trees sticking out over the bush, and then you may or may not see this little track, depending on how overgrown it is. And if you do see it, then drive as far as you can, and it may or may not still lead to where this biggest baobab is. And if you get there, just make camp, and the Bushmen will find you. So that's what I did. And I was with my then-girlfriend, now-wife, Kristen. And there was this scrunch of feet on leaves, and we looked around, and two Bushmen had walked into the clearing. And immediately, all my preconceptions got turned on their head, because there were two of them. One was a youngish guy, Benjamin, about my age. The other, an older guy wearing the traditional loincloth that these guys wear. But the younger guy was better dressed than me. I mean, he was wearing relatively new Reeboks, and you know, his jeans were certainly better laundered than mine, and he walked right up to me and said in perfect English, "Oh, hello, my name's Benjamin Guiche. You know, welcome to Nyanya. What are you doing here?" More or less. And I didn't realize until that point really how colonial my outlook was, you know, how much I wanted these guys to look like Bushmen. I wanted them to be picturesque. I wanted them to wear loincloths and skins. And of course, he knew exactly what I was thinking, because he was dealing with this all the time when people would come into this area. And he ended up answering a lot of my questions in a very indirect, kind of elegant way. But Benjamin himself explained to me, well, you know, the reason I speak English like this is because I ended up at a mission school in Botswana when I was a boy. I now work as a translator for an NGO, basically here to deal with people like you who show up to find out, you know, what do you want? Are you just a tourist? Are you a journalist? You know, what do you want to do?
And so what did you do?
I, of course, was desperate to go hunting with them. And he, of course, knew that I was desperate to go hunting with him because everyone who shows up there is desperate to go hunting with the bushman. So he was sort of wryly, you know, watching me, you know, waiting for me to ask this. And but then he sort of very casually said, all right, well, just, you know, let's go, follow me. He whistled up a friend. And then we were into the bush, and then suddenly it was all very real. Benjamin and his friend were tracking over ground where I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see any tracks. From time to time, I'd stop them and say, what are we following? And they'd say, oh, well, look, you see the steenbok that we're following here. It's, you know, a bird passed over here about, you know, 15 minutes ago. You know, we walk on for 15 minutes very casually. And then suddenly he makes me get down. And there it is, within an easy, small bow shot away, completely oblivious to our presence.
And then what happens?
Well, then he reaches back to the quiver that he's carrying on his back, and in that quiver are arrows with a poison on them made from a beetle larva, and it's absolutely lethal. There is no antidote. So he very, very slowly, very silently pulls this out. He notches it onto the bow. He gets up into a half crouch. He leans forward and he lets fly the arrow, and the arrow makes its arc, comes down about 2 inches from the antelope's shoulder, the animal takes off. He missed.
Now, I'm wondering how much of a show that they're putting on for you. I mean, how much is this kind of like, oh, okay, the tourist is here, the journalist is here.
I think in that particular instance, he would have killed it if he could. But yes, that absolutely goes on. I mean, because people, film crews show up and say, right, we want to see a hunt. We want to see a hunt now. Now. You know, here's some money. Go out, kill us an antelope. And, you know, you hear them talking about this, and they're saying, we don't want to go kill an antelope. You know, they don't need to go kill an antelope. You know, so they'll come up with a reason not to. And in a way, that's their prerogative, because they're the ones who are managing the game and the land. They know what they should take and what they shouldn't take at any one time.
It seems harder and harder for the bushmen to remain isolated. And from what you've seen and observed, what are some of the ways that these people have adapted to the surrounding modern societies?
They are very good at really being able to absorb anything from an outside culture, anything, whether it's mechanics, whether it's clothes, whether it's a boogie box, whether it's money, and to also keep the integrity of their own culture very intact. They are a much older and more resilient people in some ways than we are. It's much easier for them to flow in and out of our society and our culture, which they have to do all the time, whether it's dealing with a local government official or a local tribal chief or a tourist or whoever they're having to deal with on that day. And there's a lot of theories about why they're so able to adapt in ways that we find difficult. It's very hard for us to just go into the bush, for example. And I suppose that might come down to the hunting and foraging technology and mentality, where you're making use of every single situation that comes up that allows for this ease and fluidity of dealing with and mixing with other cultures.
Rupert Isaacson is author of The Healing Land, The Bushman and the Kalahari Desert. Rupert, thanks for taking this time with me today.
Thank you for having me.